So I've known Irene for over 25 years. I was 12 when we first met.
And as she's told you, she's the stay-at-home kind. She's always maintained that. But while I've known her, she was first a teacher, teaching modern languages, French. I think she also taught special needs children. She then spent 2 or 3 years in Romania running a children's home. In that period, immediately after the Soviet Union collapsed and suddenly these countries in Eastern Europe became open, I had to explain that to one of my children who didn't know the story about Romania and others. She then went into a career in nursing. I think I've got this in the right order. She then went into a career, retrained, went into a career in nursing, and then specialised in palliative care in nursing. And adding to that, she then went out to North Africa for 4+ years. So when I heard her talking about Stan, my ears pricked up. I wondered if this was a new phase in her life, a new adventure. She was going to visit Stan, and that seemed reasonable. She was checking Stan out to see if it was the right thing to do. I thought she needed to be careful not to be too picky. Stan obviously lived abroad because she had to take a flight to go there. She was a bit secretive about it all. And when I heard that she was going to Central Asia, I thought it obviously didn't work out with Stan. But I was wrong. See, it's so dangerous letting me preach. I was wrong, and here we are saying farewell to Irene. So what should Irene expect? I think this passage is very helpful for us. Start off, and I've used the message. I don't know how familiar you all are with the message. It's an excellent paraphrase. It almost acts as a commentary. Read the NIV and then read the message and see if it helps you to understand. So I've pinched some of the phrases from the message, and it usefully starts off on this passage by saying, since God has generously let us in on what he is doing. So God has not just informed Irene of what's happening in Central Asia, but he's involved her. Irene has a role and a place there. So she's not easily going to be put off. Paul, in this passage, right from the beginning, suggests the going is going to be tough. It's going to be difficult. It's not going to be easy. There are going to be hard times. But Irene has a role. She's in partnership with God. And this word that Paul uses frequently, I don't think he uses it here, but uses the word fellowship a lot. It's better translated partnership. Think of a business relationship where the gains and the losses are shared. Irene is in partnership, in fellowship with God. So she's not going to throw the towel in. You're not going to throw the towel in. Things will go wrong. There will be difficulties. Not just once or twice, but several times. But things being difficult doesn't make it wrong. If you have a role, a calling from God, then you don't throw the towel in when it gets difficult. That applies to us all. We don't modify the message, making it more palatable, easier for us to follow, or easier for other people to hear. We're not secretive about who we are and what we're doing. We have to be open and honest. As Irene said, it's God's work. We understand that it's not the preacher or the bringer of the message that people very often reject. It's the subject matter. It's the person It's the person that the messenger is bringing. Paul talks about the God of darkness who has blinded people. People think they can be satisfied with all sorts of other things other than Jesus Christ. So even if people are blind and don't hear what you're saying or doing, don't be put off. So what is Irene going to be doing in Central Asia? Well, again, there's a lovely phrase in the message. It talks about presenting the bright picture of God in Jesus Christ. This is all of our roles, and this is Irene's role when she goes out to Central Asia, to present this bright picture of God in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the visible representation of God. He is the only one who is trustworthy and worth following. Get to know him, you get to know God. Paul was thrilled to have this ministry. He thought it was splendid to go out and talk to people about Jesus. Again, in the message, verse 6 says this: it started when God said, "Light up the darkness," and our lives were filled with light as we saw and understood God in the face of Christ, all bright and beautiful. As Paul, you also have had your life brightened, changed through coming to know Jesus Christ. This is the message that you carry. We need to present Jesus Christ, his life, his amazing works, his miracles, his healings, his teaching, his remarkable death, his wonderful resurrection. All points to the fact that he is Lord, the only one to follow. This can be present in the brightness of our lives, we who know Jesus Christ. So, a word of warning to us all. Don't look at Irene and miss the brightness. This passage tells us that the message, this bright message about Jesus Christ, is in a cheap earthen vessel. Something ordinary and everyday. I don't know whether you've ever been on holiday, and in many parts of the Mediterranean you can buy little replica oil lamps. And they're really quite cheap and tacky, and they're not terribly well finished off. Some of them are little more than a ball with a little corner turned down where the wick would lie. It's something very ordinary and everyday, and this is what the passage refers to. An ordinary, everyday vessel. A household implement. Something that you would have in your kitchen drawer. Or it even has a sailing application. So it might be the cleat or the turnbuckle that the rope runs through. Or maybe the apparatus in an experiment. Or perhaps the scaffolding around a building. Something that's utilitarian and ordinary and everyday, not the object of the exercise. It can even refer to a wife who contributes to the usefulness of a husband. And some of us know all about that. This is the word that Paul uses, a vessel. Something ordinary, something everyday. So that's what you are, Irene. An ordinary, everyday vessel. A piece of kit. I like that idea. A piece of kit useful to Jesus. I'd like that to be my epitaph. That would be okay, wouldn't it? That would look good on your gravestone. A piece of kit useful to Jesus. That's what Irene is. That's what we all are. We're this very ordinary vessel that can be used to show the brightness of Jesus Christ. If you're tempted to say, "Look at me," people will miss the brightness. We're very flawed, aren't we? Very often it's only we who know how flawed we are. And that's because the rougher the piece of pottery, the more the brightness of Jesus Christ will shine. And so Paul is able to say, confident that he has a calling from God, and these are paraphrases, hemmed in but not hamstrung, not sure what to do, but God does, terrorized at times, but God is on our side, often thrown about, but never broken. Let's all of us have a reality check this morning. Our role as Christians is tough. It's difficult. We have a difficult task in our society to present the Lord Jesus Christ to a world that's got a whole series of alternatives. We have to be wise to this. It will be difficult. It can be painful. But it's God's task. We are his servants. Ordinary, everyday vessels. Now it seems to me, from my reading of the Bible, that the kingdom of God is advanced as we understand that more and come closer or conformed to the route that Jesus Christ took. Jesus did say in Mark chapter 1, come follow me. But he said in Mark chapter 8, take up your cross and follow me. I don't really understand this, because I'm steeped in this world's ways, so I understand the root of power and strength and influence and control. That's what we're familiar with, isn't it? We succeed, we achieve by being the most powerful, the fastest, the strongest, the cleverest. It wouldn't seem that this was the way in which Jesus Christ worked. I don't think, actually, that's how the universe works. Sin has entered this world, and we've taken over with our ways of doing things, not the way that God wants things to be done. Jesus, we're told, could have called on an army of 72,000 angels when he struggled as he was going to the cross. But it wasn't an army that achieved victory. It was the suffering and death of an innocent man who won the day. Paul says elsewhere in the New Testament that he wants to share in Christ's suffering. And Christ's way to victory was through disgrace. We have something to learn there, something to understand as God's people. So, to conclude, this is not a miserable or depressing message. It would be miserable and depressing if I told you to be cheerful and smiley and it all went wrong. That there was no fruit. That God doesn't have a part in it. But as Paul says here, while he was going through the worst of it, they were going through the best of it. So your friends and colleagues and the people that you will meet and influence in Asia will be going through the best of it, even if there's times when you're going through the worst of it. Trials are never easy, but they can be meaningful. Let me conclude by reading what James says in chapter 1, verse 12. He said, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him.